True or false? Brexit success numbers. So people thinking that Brexit is a success is at 11% right now. So do you think more people believe in Bigfoot in America than Brexit being a success?
I would genuinely say it'll be at least 7%.
Believe in Bigfoot.
And I think, yeah, at least 7%. But I think America, like, there was some stupid stat, like, in 2016, like, 33% of Republicans said, yes, we should bomb Agrabah when polled. Agrabah being the fictional city from Aladdin. And so I think it is possible. Yeah, I go yes. More than believe.
More people believe in Bigfoot than Brexit being a success. Madge?
Oh, I'd go true.
It is true. It's 17% believe in Bigfoot.
Yeah, I believe in Bigfoot.
Okay, okay. But we'll go UK now. True or false, and this is over to Madge first. Do Brits believe more in elves and fairies than Brexit being a success?
I'll go with true, yeah.
You think that's likely?
Yeah, it's okay to believe.
Femi?
I refuse. I refuse. Yeah. I refuse to believe that about my country.
Last couple of weeks, we've had ghosts, UFOs, Loch Ness Monster. It's Halloween, so we're going... Okay, you're both going true.
No, I'm going false.
You're going false. Okay. It's true. More people believe in elves and fairies than Brexit.
I know people in this country. They're idiots.
14%. 14% of the country believe in fairies.
You can't. Reform are number one in the polls, guys, okay?
Wait,
anything is possible.
Are we including children?
Over 18 have been polled. Over 18, so not including children.
Oh.
Happy Halloween!
I know that's a throwaway. You can say, I believe it as a joke.
You could do. But it's just funny that that figure keeps reoccurring around, hovering around that. Because Loch Ness was, I think, 15% believe in the Loch Ness monster.
Do you think they're all the same person? All the same people?
No.
Do you think the polls just...
No, because the Bigfoot one is the US. Like,
no, but like the Loch Ness one and the elves
the
one.
UK.
The Loch Ness one and the elves one. Do you think it's the same group of people that are being polled? And they're like, yeah, why not? You know, Loch Ness could be real. Like, do you believe in elves and fairies? Like, yeah.
Well, you say that, but then you go and ask them about Flat Earth, and Flat Earth is 4%.
Yeah, but they're not complete idiots, Alex.
Okay, talking of idiots, this week, over to you, Femi. Donald Trump bragged this week, true or false, about his son being so good at computing because he knows how to switch it on and off his laptop. True or
That's
false?
That's true. True. I'm going true.
You want to go true? This is why you should be in charge of TikTok, according to Trump. If true. Madge?
I'll go with true as well. I can imagine Trump saying that.
Yes, it is true. Donald Trump did say that this week. The reason for his son being so good at tech. It's because he can switch it on. He can look at a computer and just switch it on.
That must look amazing, Trump. It's like, oh, you press the button and it turns on. It's like, that's crazy. It must look so good to him.
Okay. Madge? Yeah, is it back to Madge? Yeah, it's back to Madge. Madge. This week, true or false, Starmer announced that he was proud of being boring.
Oh, shit. I'll go false. I'll go false on that one.
Yeah, I'd wait. No, this has come up as a concept.
he's boring, or he believes it's good to be boring.
I'd say proud because I think he probably made a stability case for it.
Very good. Yeah, that's pretty much it. He is proud of being boring. Well done, guys. Fucking world we live in. I don't even think John Major was proud of it, was he? I think he took it on the chin with spitting image making him boring, but yeah, wow. Anyway, shall we get on with the show and get onto the serious stuff? Welcome everyone to the Sunday Roast. And we've got a lovely guest with us this week, a regular on the show. Femi, please can you introduce yourself to everyone? I don't think you need it, but just in case, you know, because of the elf people and the fairy people.
Hi, I'm Femi. I'm the guy that screams against Brexit, human rights abuses, and basically crap people in politics.
And have you screamed at Carol Malone?
She usually used to be the one that would scream at me quite vociferously. We have a long history. She blocked me years ago. I think it's one of the reasons that Jeremy Vine kicked me off the show.
But she said racist. I've only seen one clip of you dealing with her where it was very clear it was quite racist what she was saying.
Yep.
Do you remember? I assume you remember that.
So I think the most obvious, like, you are clearly a racist clip was the one, I think it was the one about the Black Lives Matter statue that got put up in Bristol to replace the Colson statue. And it happened to be the same week as Banksy had done some graffiti on the London Underground train. And there was the discussion about whether or not it was okay to put up the statue. And she took the firm position of putting up that Black Lives Matter statue without authorization is wrong. It's criminal. It needs to be taken down immediately. And then we got on to like 10 minutes later, we then just going through the stories of the day. And we're reading through about this, about how Banksy had spray painted a train. And Jeremy Vine was just like, you probably want to tell them to clean it off because that's damaged. And she was like, no, I wouldn't. I was like, what the hell? She was like, yeah, because it's art. It's like, and it's making a statement. It's like, but what about you said the other thing was criminal. I was like, and it got back, we did it back and forth, and it got to the point where I was literally saying, all right, so putting up a statue in favor of Black Lives Matter, that is criminal and has to go, but spray painting a train, that's fine because it's art. Yes.
It's the principle of two people deciding to erect a statue in a city full of God knows how many...
I love, that's art, Carol. Where's your imagination?
You can't just put any old art installation...
We had a train carriage yesterday where Banksy went in and sprayed pictures on it, right? You know, you would have cleaned it off, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't have.
Ah.
But the thing is...
What?
The cleaner...
So the statue of somebody fighting for equality, that has to go, but illegal graffiti, that can stay.
Yes. In terms of Banksy, yes. Because Banksy makes statements. He makes statements. It's not... That's not
Protector wasn't making a statement.
Yes, it was making a statement, but it should have been done with consultation.
Okay, all right.
Was Banksy
right,
done with consultation?
All right. This is so
funny. Actually, I did just... Yes, that's...
That is a tricky one.
That is but a
tricky
one.
Tricky.
Right.
That is a tricky
okay.
one.
And I was like bluntly saying like racism, anti-racism bad, criminal graffiti is good. And she was just like, yeah, but that graffiti was making a statement. I was like, so was the Black Lives Matter protester. Yeah, but it wasn't done with authorization. The graffiti wasn't done with authorization either. And it went back and forth. And it was clearly obvious to everybody watching she was racist. And I think she actually knows how racist she is because during the break, when it cut to Black, she literally said, I'm going to get slaughtered on Twitter for that. Like, she knows that she's talking nonsense. She knows it. It's not.
Wow.
It's not like she truly believes this stuff. She knows when she's talking nonsense.
You reckon it's just for clickbait for her own self-interest? Because it's on Jeremy Vine, which is odd. You're in this quasi-set, and it's going to do you more favors than her. So it's really weird that she even has that sort of self-awareness. Am I missing something?
The question you should ask yourself is, who's still on that show and who isn't? I'm the one that got dropped from the show. Her debating nonsense. Not from that episode, but after a while, they gradually just stopped putting me on the show. Whereas Carol Malone, constantly abusive, constantly loud, constantly shouting over people. But that's what they want. Like she knows she's playing a role, and they pay her to play that role.
I've heard that from other people who've had dealings with her. Can't name names, but they'll go in the dressing room, and then she's just acting totally normal as if nothing's happened on the show.
So that's the thing. Like, my mum used to call Carol Malone my TV mum. She's perfectly nice behind the stage. She only got less and less warm towards me the more times I went on TV with her, because every time I went up against her, I would make her look absolutely ridiculous. So the more I became a problem for her professionally, the more she didn't like me until eventually she blocked me, and now here we are.
Have you ever questioned Jeremy Vine as to why they took you off, or the reasoning, or have you got a hypothesis? I appreciate you don't might not want to talk about it.
There were conversations that happened as to me gradually being put into a less front-facing role on the show. And I don't think that me trying to have those conversations is the reason I got dropped. I think they had a plan to gradually edge me out anyway. And I think that maybe I greased the wheels by saying, hey, look, I know you're doing this, but can I at least debate some decent people? And then I just got edged out, and then they stopped calling me back.
And yet they kept her on.
Yeah.
And they kept her on, and they kept her on. I mean, when was your last appearance on the show?
Oh, it's got to be at least 2 years. At least 2 years.
So 2 years they've had the racist agony aunt, who seems to be self-aware of what she's saying. Yep. And then it happened again this week. Do you want to touch upon that, Madge? Did you catch what she did and said?
I saw, you know, we're not allowed to discuss Portugal, so not allowed to mention Portugal, so there was that. What else did she say? She said,
can you elaborate to anyone who hasn't seen that?
Because Polanski was talking about, I think, decriminalising drugs or legalising drugs, and, you know, the obvious example is Portugal, because they have decriminalised it. It's not perfect, but, you know, addiction never will be. And then I think he was going to cite Portugal, and she's like, no, don't discuss Portugal, because she already knows what the counter is. She can't mention that. Okay. The actual example of it working, we can't mention that.
Drugs can be really dangerous. So I think the question here is about the fact the war on drugs has failed. We know people are going to take drugs. So when they're legalised, they also need to be regulated, and that's the key bit here. Now, are they going to be regulated or unregulated as they are right now on the black market by gangs who could be serving anything and could be putting them in the hands of kids? Or are we going to make sure, actually, that medical health professionals and people who can actually care for people who have problematic relationships with drugs can legalise and regulate all drugs to make sure we know exactly what's
happening? And we go to the top ones, we go to the... I haven't had any of these, I don't know what they're like, but heroin, crack cocaine, crystal... The Breaking Bad scenario, the guy wouldn't have to brew it in his caravan, he could do it in his front room?
Well, even more so, it wouldn't be in the front room, it'd be about ultimately making sure that's on prescription or it comes from a medical health professional.
Right.
As opposed to people, again, doing these things on the street or alleyways and having a whole...
You're advocating giving them free poison. You're advocating young people to stupefy themselves, causing possible brain damage. And what, in the name of a civil liberty, in the name of...
Would they not be
freedom?
Doing it anyway? That's his point.
That well, they... My point is, in Portugal, they did this. Drug death reduced 80%.
Oh, I'm so glad...
Okay, hang on, this is like Fawlty Towers mentioning the war. You do Portugal, and then Carol will respond on Portugal.
Please let me respond.
There is no link across the whole world between legalising something and someone doing it more. Ultimately, we need to make sure that people are protected, that they are safe. So you're actually making the opposite of the argument.
But what's the Portugal point?
The Portugal point is that when they legalise drugs in Portugal, drug deaths have reduced 80%.
Okay. What's your answer to that?
My answer to that is you clearly haven't done any research, because even great supporters who 10 years ago supported Portugal are now going against it. The government in Portugal is now talking about criminalising drug use again because it's out of control. The number of hospitalizations in Portugal for cannabis taking, for psychotic episodes and schizophrenic episodes, has increased 30-fold in the first 5 years that the policy was introduced. People are now saying that the mayor of Porto, the second biggest city in Portugal, is saying that this policy helps no one anymore. Killing kids,
would more people take drugs if they legalise them?
People have taken drugs in Portugal.
That's not true. Yeah. I mean, it's just not true. We need to look at the science and the information.
He's not going to talk about Portugal because he doesn't know the facts.
This Portugal thing's great.
The Washington Post has just done a massive investigation into the Portugal scenario and said it's not working.
I mean, what we're hearing is the right wing in countries are very unhappy.
Hang on, Carol,
just a sec. Zach's first time on the show since he became Green leader. Let's let him have at least one sentence.
He's peddling nonsense.
Yeah, but you've got to let him peddle
it. I mean, for Carol to shout peddling nonsense after that rant is quite some audacity.
And then, he wanted to discuss, he was saying, you know, women are more concerned with, you know, people that are abusive and things like that. She goes, you're not a woman, you can't discuss that. So, Yeah, you know, her logic is sound. You're not Portuguese, you can't discuss Portugal. You're not a woman, Zach, so you can't discuss women. And then she went on to say, yeah, well, I think why she's got issues with trans people. And I was just like, but Carol, you can't discuss that because you're not trans. And on the drugs thing, I would have said, like, Carol, you can't discuss drug addicts. You're not a drug addict unless there's something you want to reveal to the audience. Because the way
You
you're
all deep
acting,
down know.
you might be on the Colombian snow.
She's on something. I don't know what the fuck it
Oh.
is, but she's on something.
But
Because
yeah.
that was like mad and stupid on another level.
It's just she plays a character for views. It's like there's loads of people who do that, especially on YouTube and stuff, because you know she goes viral. You know, it's not that clip didn't just go viral because of Zach Polanski, even though he's quite popular. It's because of her, because she says something absolutely unhinged, and then people share it, and it feeds the outreach machine, and so your show gets more popularity. Why else would you platform someone who has no understanding of politics whatsoever? Like, what stupid logic is that? So, oh, you can't
Mad,
discuss
isn't
this thing. You can't discuss this issue because you're not part of that community. It's like, okay, but
it?
here you are discussing things you're not a part of.
Don't dislike rich people. I just want
Well,
rich
you
people
said it. You
to
said it.
pay fair taxation,
You
which is
said it
very
earlier.
different. Second, women's rights that I believe from speaking to women that they want us to be talking about is violence against women and girls, not being able to get a gynecology appointment, the
With
gender pay gap.
respect,
I don't
you
hear.
can't say what women's rights are because you're not one. J.K. Rowling is one, and she stands up for
All
women.
right.
So
Well,
you
this
can't
has gone. She's one
prioritize
woman,
women's
as you
rights.
are, but
Yes,
also I listen to lots of women who say we are trans inclusive.
but you're still
And
not one.
actually, the
So
problems are.
you do not
Well,
understand
look,
what
I'm
has
glad
been
we've
happening
ended
to
on a
women.
positive note.
Well, yeah, but you know, you do not
Well, you're
understand the
not trans,
erosion
are
of
you?
women's rights.
But you're not trans, so we could all say we're
Zach
not that
Osborne.
thing, so we can't have an opinion.
She's a woman.
You can still have an opinion from listening to people. Yes,
She
you are a woman, and you're one woman with an
champions
opinion.
women's the erosion of women's rights. And I think I didn't have any time for her before this, but now I do.
I did check the legalization stats afterwards. Because I was a bit like, what has happened? Now, you know, it's been 20, 2001 they decriminalized. It's not
Yeah,
legalized.
that's the
They
important thing, distinction.
decriminalized, which is, yeah. So, like, if you're caught with more than 10 days worth of drugs, then you will be still arrested, which she completely failed to mention. So you can't deal. You're
It's
just not going to be, you're going to be treated in a health crisis situation as opposed to being a dick
Yeah,
or.
it's the difference between intent to supply versus intent for use. So they'll always check, you know, how much you have and do you have the stuff to actually like sell it to others. But you know, they do have more access to things. I think some methadone is the heroin substitute, and they have more access to things like that, which is, you know, I think they give it for free to people, and anyone who's got an addiction, they can get it, and there's no judgment. Like even other countries, when you know it comes to I think it's like Sweden, one of the Scandi countries, where they give people facilities to use, you know, if they want to take drugs, they can do it because you don't pass, you know, illnesses through sharing needles, because that's quite a common thing amongst like certain groups of people, and so you avoid kind of you know diseases spreading by doing that. So there are things we can do, like, because you can't stop people using drugs. That's the one thing we've learned from the war on drugs. You cannot stop it, and the more you try, the worse it gets at points. You know, in London there's a massive problem where, you know, you've got, you know, there was a conversation I think I've discussed on the channel before, where they were talking about why don't we punish the drug users, you know, the people who buy cocaine, who are mostly like middle class people, rather than punishing the ones dealing it. Because if there's no buyer, you don't have anyone who needs to supply it. And I was like, that's actually an interesting way to put it, because, you know, it's mostly richer people who take those sorts of drugs.
Well, yeah. Do you remember how much they found in Westminster? Do you remember that? They
I
found
mean, it
it like in
explains
a
a lot.
secure area.
It explains a lot, because I've seen the state of some of those politicians, yeah, and I'm like, mate, what are you on? I know House of Commons, I know these select committee hearings are boring, but you don't need to go to that.
Yeah, the
We
impression
might
that
come
I
back to that. I think there was.
got was that
Go on, sorry,
basically
Bemmy.
the impression I got was that Michael Gove is basically Scarface.
Jeez. That day he did the accents. Can you put that clip in there? That day he did the accents on BBC, man.
Was making the point clearly. We just had a cabinet committee meeting to discuss it, that we are constantly looking at ideas in order to ensure that we relieve the pressure on people who are facing incredibly tough times. But that doesn't amount to an emergency budget, which is what some people immediately thought that it did. It is an example of some commentators chasing their own tails and trying to take a statement that is commonsensical, turning it into a major capital letters, a big news story. And in fact, when the Treasury quite rightly say, calm down, then people, instead of recognizing that they've overinflated the story in the first place, then say, oh, this is clearly a split. And someone like Ed Davey, I know I worked with Ed in the past, I recognises talent for this sort of thing, immediately steps into this media whirlpool and attempts to stir it even further.
God damn.
He was clearly on something.
Did you see the one where he was like partying in Glasgow? And I'm like, brother, these people are like 40 years younger than you. What are you doing here?
I think he just, to be fair, he just, like, I don't want to be fair, but to be fair, I think he just completed the divorce, hadn't he?
Yeah, but surely...
Which, by the way, she claimed that Brexit caused that divorce.
To be fair, yeah, after seeing some of the stuff his wife has put out in the newspaper, share, maybe that's the life you have to live to deal with that kind of stuff. Honestly, maybe we need to be fair to Gove.
That kind of does make me feel a little bit happy. It did kind of warm me, because I didn't know that happened. That warmed my soul a little bit to know that by doing Brexit, he got a punishment from that, in that his life was ruined. Because there's very little justice that we get from the people that push us down the Brexit path. Yeah. It just knowing that he went through a divorce by pushing us through a national divorce, I feel good about that.
To be fair, my favourite story will always be the guy who told Jacob Rees-Mogg that his wife left him because he voted for Brexit and his wife was from an EU country. And I was like, yeah, dog, you kind of deserve that. You're a medical professional and you're a complete moron.
I very naively voted to leave. And my wife casually asked me one evening what my voting decision was. And I put it into a very succinct situation. I told her what I did. And it was like lighting the blue touch paper and standing back. And I don't think I've ever seen anyone who felt so devastatingly betrayed, upset, let down. And we've got two daughters, 15 and 18 at the moment. And as far as I'm concerned, that was the end of a very successful marriage.
Do you regret the way you voted?
I regret it so much. It breaks my heart talking about it.
Jacob.
Well, the story you tell is incredibly sad and heart-rending for you.
The guy's got his sovereignty back now. He can go stay up late on the games and no one's going to sell him off.
I looked at the stats and it was really interesting because I was like, is she talking bollocks? She probably is, but it'd be interesting to see what the stats are. So I think they had 350 people a year dying from heroin overdose, and it's now dropped to 80. And then they had an HIV epidemic, which you touched on, because you were saying about disease spread.
Needles.
That's completely dropped off the cliff. I think drug use has increased, but it's in line with the whole of the EU. And I reckon, you know, we've been in a recession pretty much since 2008. So it's not too surprising. But also interesting, prohibition, which I know quite a bit about in the States, when they tried to ban alcohol, it didn't fucking work. It encouraged it. And then it encouraged law breaking as a normality. And then bribery, corruption coming in as well. Like, banning people from doing stuff is not the way forward. And harsh punishments. I mean, there are some countries where they just cut your hand off for certain drugs. And you're just like, yeah, I don't fancy living in a country that has that type of draconianism in order to stop you from taking coke and everything else. You know full well that the higher echelons are going to have the money to bypass that anyway and not get caught. What? Anyone any thoughts on the decriminalization? Because obviously Zach seems to think that it's the way forward.
Probably a good idea. I mean, I wouldn't decriminalize the harder drugs, like, you know, the A-class stuff, like heroin and stuff. But I think decriminalizing, like, weed makes a lot of sense. So I think it just depends on the drug, really. Like, but it's just one of the things where it's not worth the police time. Like, police have way too much to deal with. Like, arresting people that protest for Palestinian action. No, wait, no, that's not it. Actually dealing with, you know, criminals that do bad stuff. But, you know, I think it's kind of pointless. Like, I get punishing people with intent to supply, but I think punishing, like, people for small time... There was someone in the House of Lords who mentioned it as well. Like, he was saying this is just... It's just a stupid system we have. It's very American. Yeah, it's a very American system.
I assume it's been influenced by America.
Oh, 100%, America, yeah.
Yeah, go on, Femi, you were going to say?
No, so I'm fully team legalization, but with limits. Like, there was a discussion about meth, and I don't think meth is one of those ones that you should ever allow into the game. I don't drink, so I'm not exactly the best person to really draw that line, but I don't think it should go much higher than shrooms and stuff like that.
I'd be more keen on the decriminalization and treating it as a health crisis, and then dealing with that way and ensuring people had the right facilities and options to use and get off the drugs. I was looking at some of the stats as well. I think they got rid of, I think I think Portugal said they had 35% of their prisons before it was decriminalized with drug users. It's now down to 14. So they've emptied their prisons, which is what we actually need to do in this fucking country. Mm-hmm. And then it said that it increased drug smugglers because they weren't having to deal with petty crime and treating it as a health crisis. It meant actually there were more resources to catch all the people that are bringing all the drugs in. I think Karen Malone also said that, but they've got people coming in and getting all the cocaine in the ports. And I think she cited Porto. It transpired from my research that it's just a stopgap. It's actually going off to places like the UK and like Holland and Germany because they've got high wages. And so therefore you get more bang for your buck to sell it to them. And it's just a stopping off point. And then the other thing that I thought was quite wild, they legalized it in Colorado. I think it's the mayor of Aspen is anti-drugs. But when he saw the revenue coming in from the tax of cannabis, he said he changed his mind. Would you like to guess how many jobs? This is just Colorado. I apologize if it's not Aspen. Would you like to guess how many jobs this has created since they legalized? And how much revenue in tax is brought in?
Must be in the millions for tax.
Is it millions? So
I reckon 10,000 jobs would be a good guess.
10,000 jobs, Madge, you reckon?
I'd go with that, yeah. So somewhere in that ballpark.
And you reckon millions in tax revenue? And
yeah, I'd say so. Probably in the millions, yeah.
Femi?
I'd say 3 million.
It's 35,000 jobs.
Fucking hell.
It's 2.7 billion.
Billion with a B.
Billion.
Crazy, man.
Which they then reinvested into child services. Because that's the problem, like, with drug use. It seems to be tied, it's heavily tied to, you know, childhood experiences. So if you can give them a better quality of living, then people use drugs less.
Yeah, but you kill your business long term. you kill off your business long term if you do that.
What did you... Obviously, I'm going to stick with Karen Malone just a little bit longer. What did you make of her? Because you were saying that she said, can't talk about it, Portugal, can't talk about women. I can talk about trans, even though I've said you can't talk about anything else. But she also suggested that Zach Polanski didn't know anything about Nazis.
I missed that bit.
Was it right to say, on that show, though, but the bit of the clip before we showed it was you saying to Zia Youssef, you're a fascist?
Well, the reason why we're surging in the polls and the reason why we're getting so many members is because if something walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, I'll call it a duck. And actually, Nigel Farage, when he worked in the European Parliament, used to join forces with the Swedish Democrats. These are literally a Nazi party with roots with the far right.
Is that
the
same?
How dare you throw words like Nazi around? How do you even know what that means?
You missed that bit.
Yeah.
So he was saying, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it's a duck. Yeah. And he was citing that as a reason as to why Farage is a fascist. He then cited that Farage had been with the Swedish party.
That's it. Swedish Democrats, I think.
Swedish Democrats, which was set up originally by a veteran, high-ranking SS Waffen SS officer, right? What he didn't mention is that he was also in a group, Lega Nord, which is an Italian fascist group, who had the leader and one of the other supporting or higher echelons of that group supporting Anders Breivik, the guy who went around fucking killing Norwegian children in fucking droves, right? This is Farage. This is who he's connected to. And they defended Anders Breivik. And Farage got in an alliance with those guys as well. So you're going, right, it walks like a duck. I've got 20 minutes of Farage saying racist shit. I've got about 7 minutes of him saying pro-Putin stuff. But apparently, according to Carol, you can't call him a fascist. And then said to Zach Polanski, Polish, gay, Jewish, he doesn't know anything and can't talk about Nazis.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You can't talk about Nazis because he's not one. So, you know, You can only talk about groups you're associated with.
Yeah, the logic tracks.
She makes so much sense. Everything's just,
but she can. Not the worst thing is, I nearly missed that one. But she can because she is.
Whoa!
Can you finish the sentence.
No, I can't. I can't.
She's Nazi.
I did not see that coming. Did not see that coming.
Like, if he wants to sue me, like, this is, but for the record, on the notion of like getting sued by these people. Like, I've had Richard Tice come at me, I've had Eddie Dempsey come at me, I've had Rupert Lowe come at me. They're coming to the point where the reason why I think then they're no longer trying to sue me is because they know that if it did actually go to court, I would get to argue in court that they are Nazis, and I would win. Because by the dictionary definition, they meet a whole bunch of the criteria. Like, they are Nazis. So, please, sue me. if we go into the next election with newspaper headlines of Femi calls reform Nazis and wins in court, they're done.
You did a great video. It just jogs a memory, Femi. You did a great video where you did Change My Mind and you cited the Nazi Breaking Point poster that Farage put up and had to explain to a young gentleman who hadn't got a fucking clue as to why that was racist.
Yeah, that was fun. It was. I wish the audio of that had been recorded properly, but you can still hear what happens. Basically, I'm like, Farage is a racist. He's like, Farage isn't a racist. And I'm like, all right, well, that poster showed visibly Middle Eastern people. The UK was never part of the EU's common asylum policy. So the notion that all those people that came into the EU would somehow be forced onto the UK because we're part of the same system didn't exist. There was no way of those people getting to the UK. And so he chose visibly Middle Eastern people to scare people about what was effectively European migration, because that's what you need to... It's only EU citizens that can benefit from free movement. And he said, yeah, but what if they stay in an EU country and get EU citizenship? And then they come here. And I was like, okay, so in order to do that, in Germany at the time, the time you have to stay in Germany in order to get EU citizenship, what German citizenship was 7 years. So they'd have stayed in Germany for 7 years. They'd have had to be integrated into German society, speaking German sufficiently enough to pass the citizenship test of Germany, at which point they would be fully fledged German citizens. And therefore, the only relevance of that photo, if they were to come here, would be their ethnic origin. So by pointing to that photo, you are literally saying the EU is becoming more brown, therefore we have to close the doors. And I was like, isn't that racist? And his words were, my mind's gone blank.
Fucking hell.
Like I've never seen somebody like go, wait, am I a racist?
Fucking hell, having an epiphany like that. I wonder what... Do you reckon Carol Malone will be kept? Or do you reckon she's...
Oh, 100% she's staying on. She has some views. Look, we're discussing the Jeremy Vine programme because of her nonsense that was on it. We're not discussing it because of Polanski.
He did great.
Oh, but yeah, he did, you know.
It was like watching another Kung Fu master, just bam, bam. And all she could do was shout at him.
Yeah, she looked crazy. Fucking...
Yeah, I hate to say it, but yeah, she did. She actually looked quite unhinged. She looked incensed and angry.
That's how she gets views. Like I've been through this. You get somebody who can actually debate, whether it's me or Zach Polanski, and guess who they will bring back time and time again. Like, they could choose to keep bringing back Zach Polanski. They won't.
No. You don't think Zach Polanski will come back on? Because I'm sure.
I mean, if they offered him, yeah, like I think he would come back on. But I don't know if they'll bring him in rotation compared to Karen Malone. He seems like one of their regulars.
Yeah,
she was firing so much shit. It was interesting to see that I don't think he registered the Nazi comment. Like when I watched that clip in full, like the bits after, because she had just thrown so much stuff at him.
Yeah.
Either he didn't register it, or he just was like, I can't deal with this. Did you see Nico's video? Where he went undercover, Nico.
Oh, yes, I think I saw bits of that. Yeah, and got him to basically say the real views.
That should have been front page news.
Mm.
That video was fucking excellent, and it just really showed how shit the mainstream media was.
He's good at that stuff.
Gone.
Nico's good at that stuff. Like when he interviewed the I think it's like a former leader of the KKK or something like that.
English Defence League.
Okay.
So you know about the English Defence League. Okay. Yeah, so basically the English Defence League, they just basically want to keep England for English.
That's unreasonable. So you did an interview with them?
Yes, I've done interviews with them in the past. Welcome to the BBC. We're here with Thomas Robb.
My name is Thomas Robb. I'm the National Director of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. I'm here with Imar Norse and...
Nonce. So Imar Nonce. Nance.
Nas.
So N-O-N-S.
Nas.
Can you say Nance?
Nas.
Nonce?
Nurse?
N-O-N-S.
Nas?
So nonce?
Nonce?
Yes, perfect.
Nonce. I'm here with Imar Nonce.
So now, if we can just do that from the top.
I'm Thomas Robb. I'm here with Imar Nonce. And he's with BBC. And yep. We're here having an enjoyable conversation about my involvement with the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. I'm National Director. And welcome here to the Ozarks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome. Really appreciate this. This is the highlight of my career.
The highlight of your career.
Honestly, wow. I'm being real with you.
And yeah, that was good. The one where he said that lady's like, yeah, your immigrants took your teeth. And she was like, yeah.
They're our streets. They're taking our houses. They're taking the lot.
And they took your teeth as well.
Yeah, they did.
That was pretty funny. He's actually quite good at that stuff. Like, you know, as funny as the dude is in general, like he's quite cool.
But with that, I was like, fuck, that just next level. There was a guy on there who admitted he had kids. And then just basically said he was ready and willing when the time was right to just take up arms and kill all foreigners. And you're like, what the fuck has happened? And that, and yet, nothing on the front page news. Nothing. And that video, last time I checked, had 3 million views. And people were like, what the fuck? It's just total brainwashing.
So this is the thing that pissed me off with Starmer when he was talking about how he's going to be banning repeated protests in order to keep Jewish people safe. And he mentioned the mosque, the attempted burning down the mosque recently. And he's like, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, they have no place in our society. That's why we stand firmly against all forms of hate. But you're willing to ban protests against genocide on the off chance that there might be a couple of people who might be anti-Semitic there. But when it comes to Islamophobia, you're willing to allow Tommy Robinson to lead a march of 150,000 when Tommy Robinson, the organizer of the march, has said that British Muslims are enemy combatants. I.e., you call somebody an enemy combatant if you want to kill that person. So you're allowing explicitly Islamophobic marches. Marches where you had Elon Musk literally saying, fight the left with violence or you'll die. That's fine, but marches against genocide, that's too much risk that there might be some anti-Semitic people there. Like, it's what's been allowed to happen is insane.
The whole thing's gone out of control, because I think Tel Aviv is meant to be playing Aston Villa tonight when we're recording, so that's Thursday.
They've told
Tel Aviv fans to stay away because of threats. The whole thing's gone out of control. Every single part of society has just gone absolutely mad. And it's been
Tommy Robinson.
Go on.
Tommy Robinson is in Israel right now.
His court date got delayed by a judge. I don't know why.
So
I couldn't figure that one out.
And Tommy Robinson being in Israel, it's so absolutely insane to me. Like, I made a video about this, right? And nobody's talking about it enough, because Tommy Robinson is a Nazi who was invited to the country that was created to keep Jewish people safe from the Nazis. Like, And when I call him a Nazi, I don't just mean because he happens to be racist. He made an article on his website called The Jewish Question, where he put out mad conspiracy theories talking about how Jewish people have too much control, about how 70% of Jews are vote Democrat, but that the good Jews are the right-wing conservative Jews, and they're not so much of a problem as the 70% that vote for the Democrats, which means he's saying the vast majority of Jewish people are a problem. Like, we have an explicitly anti-Semitic Nazi being invited to the home of Jewish people. Insanity. And yet we're supposed to believe that the Israeli regime's priority is keeping Jewish people safe. Madness. Like, they're literally funding a Nazi.
I don't think it's a rumor. I think it's quite accepted now that Netanyahu's only staying in power and by continuing the war, and he thinks if he leaves that he will end up getting prosecuted, he'll get kicked out as prime minister and he'll be done, and then he'll be prosecuted. Worry. But then I'm like, why is he inviting him? What am I missing here? Like, I feel like there's like Zia Youssef, why is Zia Youssef in reform? I've heard some really wild shit about him recently in his money. And like, no one's quite sure how he made his millions. I think, you know, I'll put up a gif of Putin carding up a mug now. I'm like, what the... I feel like I'm missing something here. There's a piece of the puzzle that is behind the scenes that explains why these idiots are doing... Like, I've just tweeted something. There is literally evidence to show Nigel Farage singing Nazi songs in a school village, in a small village at 2 a.m. in the morning, and it's cited by his teachers, but apparently he's not a Nazi. And Zia Youssef goes, yeah, that's the type of guy that I think I can work with. I'm baffled by this.
So let me go through those. So with Netanyahu, we had Trump in the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, a few days ago, literally telling the Israeli president, hey, I've got an idea. Give this man a pardon. Donald Trump told the Israeli president to give Netanyahu a pardon for the corruption charges that are hanging over him. And that got about about 2 minutes standing ovation from the Israeli parliament. A foreign leader saying to give a green, let corruption slide. So that's that. As for why they would invite Tommy Robinson to Israel, why the leaders of a country supposedly created to keep Jewish people safe from Nazis would invite a Nazi? For me, it's because their entire Tommy Robinson went to a British Muslim neighborhood and said, these people are enemy combatants. Now, you call people enemy combatants if you're trying to create justification for killing people. Now, why would a country that is currently engaged in wiping out an entire population of primarily Muslim people want somebody who has a track record of arguing that all Muslims should be treated as enemy combatants? Seems to make sense for me in terms of a propaganda tool. So there's that. As for Zia Youssef, it's just a case of he hopes to be one of the good ones. He's hoping to be one of the good ones.
Even though he got all that pushback, didn't he? Well, that was part of the reason he quit, was because apparently he was getting pushback about being a foreigner.
Yeah, they're not happy with him being Asian anyway, because a lot of these people are talking about re-migration, which is kicking out like foreign people, like sending them back. You know, that's one of the things they push, and they can't do that with Zia Youssef there because he's brown. So one of the reasons why they wanted to get rid of him, and that's why I think he left his role, but they must have convinced him to come back in like a lesser role, because that's what he's in at the moment. But the guy doesn't realize he is ushering in a bunch of people who will like hit him with racist slurs to his face.
I
can't see what this connect, unless they've all been blackmailed and forced into doing this. I don't, because you said the Jewish question, well, that's what the Nazis called the Holocaust. So you're like, he's used that, and then you've invited him over. It's not like, in many ways, he's really dumb, but in many other ways, he knows how to grift. Part of the brain working.
It's the enemy of the enemy. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. They both hate, you know, the Israeli government and Tom Robinson both hate Muslims. And, you know, he probably wants them, you know, all Jews to go to Israel so he doesn't have to deal with them if he is that anti-Semitic. So, you know, he's more than happy to back a Jewish state because it means they have a place to go. It's easier to get rid of people. So, you know, that makes sense, in my opinion anyways. But so I don't know, that stuff is so crazy. I don't get why the court's delayed his trial because he's going to Israel for a holiday or whatever. That doesn't make any sense to me as well. Like, I don't know why the court's always treating him with kid gloves. It doesn't make any sense. He seems to get away with a lot.
What, Tommy Robinson?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he got done for mortgage fraud, didn't he? And that was the reason he got in jail.
Crime, isn't it?
But was that? He's also, and then there was assault. The fact that he kept making up shit about that young kid.
Yeah, that was a civil crime again because it was defamation. Yeah. So these are civil crimes. Yeah, they got him on
a child. And then he harassed a woman, didn't he?
Yeah,
like, Narinda turned up at her house and threatened her.
Oh, that's a journalist. Yeah. He threatened a journalist. Yeah.
Really, you know. And then you got that 110,000 turning up at that march, all saying that he's great.
Yeah. These people are crazy, aren't they? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, these people like who voted for Brexit because there's too many brown faces at Tesco's. This is the level of intelligence we're dealing with here. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. Well, I mean, I actually would be quite worried about that, to be fair. But yeah, kind of speaking on that one, you know, like Farage does get a lot of blame for things. But, you know, do you think Rachel Reeves will be able to blame him for the budget that's coming up?
Oh, yeah, he assaulted a police officer as well, didn't he? Forgotten about that. Was it a police officer? Female police officer?
I mean, the guy's a football
hooligan. So he batters women.
He's a football
hooligan. Harasses them. Like, but he's a fucking creep.
But don't forget, this is the group that's going to protect women.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it feels more like they want the women all for themselves so they can batter them, to be honest. Like, that's all
the
I
way
get.
The way they phrase it as protect our women is very possessive in its concepts.
You know, like, you had one dude who was there, right? One of the protesters there a while ago. And he goes, oh, you know, I'm against these people. Like, talking about Asian people because they're, you know, accused of being pedophiles, right? And all those stealing jobs and all that kind of stuff, right? And he goes, oh, how come you got a job? He's like, oh, I've got, you know, reasons, charges, you know. And the guy's, he's a convicted pedophile.
Yes.
Like you can't make out.
Foreigners for his problems.
Yeah, you literally can't make out.
But wasn't there even, like, evidence that there were, I'm trying to be careful with the wording here. There was a significant, no, not significant, there was a number of people within the EDL that were...
Yeah. Yeah. PDFs is the internet term for that.
PDFs, thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, there was that. There's, you know, even amongst that, some of those groups outside those hotels, you know, there are people who got, you know, charges for domestic abuse. So it's like, who are you protecting? Like, people, women need protection from you. You guys are the problem.
Well, I said this last week. There was a woman that got up on stage at the, I think it was a Tommy Robinson-esque or supported protest. White woman. It was like, it was a bunch of white men that attacked and sexually assaulted me. And they yanked her off the stage. They touched her.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you're like, what the fuck? And they didn't care. They didn't care. Didn't think about it. They just told her to get lost. Didn't want to hear her story because it didn't fit their narrative. And it can only be white supremacy that's causing this. There's nothing else to it. Which is just
hate foreign people. You know, that's it. You know, they just don't like foreigners.
And yet this whole country is... The whole human race is based on that immigration. Fucking... Is there some hope? Is there something that could actually stop Farage?
We pray for Zap Polanski at this point and the Labour Party not to be so shit.
Are you leaning that way then?
He's not going to be able to win that many seats, but he'll start something. You know, move the Overton window... He'll start some sort of movement, put pressure on the Labour Party from the left, because the Your Party is a complete joke. They've got no momentum. They're not going anywhere. So we just hope that Polanski can actually do something at the election and start shifting things. Because you don't have to win MPs. You don't have to win seats in Parliament to like shift the conversation.
Yeah. Well, you can see Nigel Farage an example of that. I'd say that there are only two potential. Hopeful people that in politics right now. The only people on the board are Zach Polanski and Andy Burnham. Either we do get a massive avalanche of the left shifting towards the Greens because Labour's so shit. Ideally, involving can you imagine if like over the next course of the next couple of months there's an avalanche of defections from Labour to Green, and apparently Zach Polanski is already in talks about this. That's the one avenue, or Andy Burnham manages to get a seat in Parliament because there's talk of one potential by-election happening soon.
Manchester,
And if that does happen, then there is a challenge with him as an MP between Andy Burnham and Starmer. Starmer loses that 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
And if Andy Burnham becomes leader of the Labour Party in the next 6 months, or let's say after May... And he manages to change the voting system in the two years that follows to one where all votes count equally and proportional. That means that when the reform gets their 31, 32, 33 max votes percent, they can't govern. And they will not have a majority. And we will never see a far-right majority in the UK because the majority have always voted for parties to the left of the Conservatives. Mm. So there is a path to a permanent victory for progressives in the UK that could really get rolling in the next 7 months or so.
Femi, I'm disappointed. I thought you were going to say Ed Davey.
I'm glad you didn't say Ed Davey. I'm so glad. Even though you've got the yellow T-shirt on, I'm glad you did not. I'm glad you did not say Ed Davey. I mean, I've got Reform Blue on, to be fair, but that's not the point.
We keep having that pattern, don't we? Because we had Curtis on last week and he was like, I'm not green. And then he had a green shirt and he had a plant in the background.
He's definitely green. He's subliminal. But yeah, man, I think it's only Polanski's the only one. With Andy Burnham, I don't know if he'll have enough time to really steer anything around. That's going to be his problem because he's on a time crunch, really. And, you know, he needs to hope there's a resignation somewhere in around Manchester or the north of England where he can actually take that seat. I don't know if that will happen. As much as I wish, like, it's just that we're just running out of time. Well, if Rachel Reeves is Chancellor, she's going to blame Farage. That's going to go down like a lead balloon because it's like you're going to blame him after what Brexit happened. What, where it was five, six years ago?
No. So the issue isn't whether or not you can blame Brexit for our economic woes, because you can. Like, all the evidence shows it. I mean, it's what I've been saying since 2021. All that Starmer has to do, or any leader of the Labour Party has to do, is just go to fishing companies, go to small businesses, go to exporters, go to farmers, and say, how has Brexit affected you? If you put out a whole bunch of videos where you just have the leader of the Labour Party sat down with somebody whose business has been destroyed by Brexit, you win the argument on Brexit completely, and nobody can say anything to you. So that it's not an issue of whether or not you can blame Brexit for the issue. The issue that Labour has now is blaming Brexit when you've been in for a year while repeating the same talking points of we won't rejoin the single market, we won't rejoin the customs union. You have given sign-off to Brexit for the past 2 years. So blaming a policy that you have had complete control over for the best part of 2 years isn't going to fly.
Mm-mm. Yeah, make Brexit work.
Mm, exactly.
On that note, thank you very much, guys. Bye, everyone. Hail the lamb.
Tune in next week for another exciting story from the files of Police Squad.
It's Halloween. It's the Twilight Zone, Black Mirror sort of thing at the end. And it's going to be Love, Marry, Send to Mars. Andrew Tate, Ben Shapiro, Russell Brand.
What the fuck? Were you saving that for me?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You can't do that. That's bad. That's so bad.
Russell Brand. Okay.
You've got to swap one of those with like Boris Johnson or something like that. You can't do that. That's diabolical. You just pick two people who have like potential charges against their names.
Yeah, I know. So my issue is which of between Andrew Tate and Russell Brand, who do I send to space? And I think
at least Russell Brand called out Nigel Farage, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you could make Andrew Tate an intergalactic criminal rather than just an international one.
Yeah, but nobody said anything about oxygen supply.
No, they're going there to live. It'll be a little hub, bit of oxygen, but it'll be on Mars. Like a little. He'll survive, but he's just out of the way.
I don't think you can even do that one. That's diabolical. I think that one's awful.
Because I believe that in terms of actually endangering women, in terms of the actual direct harm they've done might be on a par, but in terms of who has actually endangered women on a worldwide scale because of the number of men that they told that a woman is a man's property, Andrew Tate takes it. And so Andrew Tate has to go to Mars. And then I have to decide whether I'm being intimate with or marrying either Ben Shapiro or Russell Brand. I think, again, I'm making a really politically incorrect joke here, but if I get to be domestically abusive towards Russell Brand, I'll take that. Like if I have the ability to torture Russell Brand for the rest of my life, I'll take that, and I'll just have a quick kiss with Ben Shapiro, and then we're done.
You're gonna have to cut that.
I feel that Ben Shapiro would be tortured the most out of that scenario.
Somehow you've made a list where Ben Shapiro is the least bad option.
Hey, you ready, Ange?
Yeah, go on.
Piers Morgan.
Oh.
Dan Wooden. Julia Hartley Brewer.
Do you know what? I'm sending Piers to space because the guy annoys me. So I'd have to marry Dan Wootton, and I'd have to love Judy Hartley-Brewer because occasionally she does... No, it's not her that does the good interview. It's the other one, the other brunette lady. Oh, the one that's on GB News who does the occasional good interview. Oh, I've gotten confused. I'll stick with my options. Yeah, I'm sending Piers to space.
And you're marrying Dan Wootton?
Yeah, I guess so. I reckon he's not that bad.
So much about Julia.
Oh, he is.
I'll say this. The one thing that she ever did that was good was when she absolutely smashed up, in my opinion, Richard Tice over Ukraine.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And his position. That was actually like, wow, okay, we agree on something. That's weird. Happy Halloween, everyone.